ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. I'm so excited because a lot of reasons. First of all, happy 5th of July. Sometimes people seem to forget that there is a 5th of July as well. And I'm celebrating today, just so you know. I'm excited. We've got a great guest, a very interesting man. He's Italian, and he's Alfonso De Rose, otherwise known as Alfonso De Rose. And he's going to be coming on in just a few moments here. He is so many things. He's an NLP expert. He's a hypnotherapist. He's a lecturer and a workshop giver. He helps people with their personal empowerment and self-acceptance, along with many other things. So we won't get into everything that he does until a couple moments from now when I finally introduce him. But in the meantime, it's interesting. You know, I have been pressured for the past couple weeks to talk on the show about something I know very little about. And I've been uncomfortable with that. And I have felt that that wouldn't be in integrity. And yet, a few friends of mine in particular have said, you know, Filippo, this is relevant, this is important, this is something that we want to hear about, and I get that. So you know what? I started to look into it more and more. And the subject matter is soccer, and maybe even more specifically, sportsmanship. So I started to do some research. And can everybody still hear me? Hello? Okay, good. So I started to do some research, and I started to see that I actually knew a lot about the subject. And just before getting on the show, it all hit me as to why I wanted to stay away from the subject. Because I was, I was a victim to all this, although I don't believe in that. I was a victim to the lack of sportsmanship in our world. And all of a sudden, as a child, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's interesting. I'll be out with some friends and we'll be throwing around a ball or something, and somebody will say, wow, you're really good at this. And they don't expect me to be. Well, it's funny because I don't expect me to be either, because I don't do it very often. And I never was good at it as a child, or so I was told. So we'll be kicking around a ball and someone says, hey, that's a pretty good move. And I'll be just as surprised as they are because I don't see myself as being able to do that. Why? Because I was told that I couldn't do that. Why? Because as a child, we were not taught sportsmanship. So it's interesting that the World Soccer Cup, the World Cup is going on right now on television, and billions of people are watching, and billions will be watching come the actual final, the World Cup. And I have to wonder what FIFA, which is the organization that is running this, that has been running this for many, many years, centuries actually, if they remember that originally, this was about sportsmanship. It's a sport. Or are people making money off of this and we're just pretending that this is actually a sport, but we're actually watching people doing business out on the field? Nelson Mandela has been quoted as saying that sports has the power to change the world, to inspire, to unite people. And of course, if you saw Invictus, you know all about that because the movie immortalized what he did. So let's see. There are certain things that have been happening on the World Cup stage that a lot of my friends are really upset about and saying, this is not right. this is not the way sports should be, and why are they calling these things fouls and those things not goals, and why are they doing this against them, and why are people hitting each other like that? Why are people so angry? I thought this was a sport. Where is sportsmanship? Well, it's interesting because I've gone to see my nephew play Little League baseball, and I don't see sportsmanship. And these are little kids, and the parents are getting more upset, and they're beating up on each other verbally with the other parents because your kid did this, your kid did that. And they're supposedly, quote unquote, trying to teach their children sportsmanship. Well, to some people, according to some websites, some people define sportsmanship as treating the people that you play with and against as you'd like to be treated yourself. Sounds a lot like the Golden Rule. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's conduct. It's fairness, respect for one's opponent, and graciousness in winning or losing. So, where did I not learn sportsmanship? In school, in kindergarten, in first grade, and therefore for the rest of my life. And that's why I've stayed away from sports all this time, because I was under the false impression that I was not good at sports, because we didn't play sports in the home. So when I got to kindergarten, the very first time that I actually encountered other kids, because lived pretty much in a neighborhood without very many children, and my parents didn't let us go out much, wander outside of our home, I did not know how to play sports. And so when it came to picking kids to be on a team, I was picked last. I also looked like I wouldn't be good at it because I was heavy set, and I looked different from the other kids because I dressed differently. We were Italian-American. So I got to learn that I wasn't good in sports because the coach wasn't even teaching these other children about sportsmanship, but they weren't even teaching me how to play. I learned how to play by watching the other kids, but without being coached. What the heck is school for, now that I think about it? So I was picked last in kindergarten or first grade, and from then on, I was picked last forever when it came to sports. Because there was nobody teaching me how to play or the kids how to have sportsmanship. And so now, I don't know how it is in the other countries, but it must be similar, because now the world in masses of billions are watching children out on the field acting unsportsmanlike. You know, it's interesting. I have to say that when the game rules were originally written up in England, do you know there wasn't a penalty kick in soccer? There was no penalty kick in soccer. Why? Because it was assumed that a gentleman would not deliberately commit a foul. It was assumed back in 1863 when they wrote these rules. And then by 1891, I think it was, yes, 1891, they brought in the penalty kick because with all the increased competition, they felt it was necessary to do that. Well, I think we've had more than just increased competition. We have some issues going on and being played out on the field. And we're watching this. And are we seeing this, or are we just taking it in that this is just the way it is? This is how sports is played. Now, if people want to beat each other up, and you want to call that a sport, and you want to call that maybe rugby or boxing, that's rugby and boxing. And I'm not saying anything against rugby and boxing. I'm just saying soccer is supposed to be a different kind of sport. And where is FIFA in all of this? And where are we in all of this? And my friends have been wanting me to talk about it, and I didn't want to. Maybe because it was connected to something that I didn't realize that was actually quite hurtful. And that we are hurting more children every day, and we're hurting our world, our population, by allowing these kinds of things to be watched by billions of people. And I think my friends were right. The more of us have this kind of conversation, the more of us can really look at ourselves and look at our world and say, are we really playing, or are we just killing each other out there? And in so doing, killing each other inside. So I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo, and I am so happy to be here today on the BBS Radio Network. You could hear us every Monday night at 7 p.m. on the BBS Radio Network. And to learn more about us, do go to lifechanges.ws. And today we have a man who probably knows a lot more about soccer than I do, because he heralds from Italy, Italia. But he knows about some things that are fascinating to all of us. As a matter of fact, I heard him lecture recently, and we decided we have to have him on the show. He said some things in ways that I'd never heard before. He's a hypnotherapist and a master NLP trainer, and he also follows extensive studies in spiritual science, and he now dedicates a great part of his life to meditation. He travels across the country lecturing and conducting seminars on personal transformation involving weight loss, personal and professional achievement, as well as spiritual and emotional intimacy. He travels to Asia every year for spiritual retreats and renewal, and he makes his home in Los Angeles, California. We welcome to the show Alfonso De Rose.
Ciao, Filippo. Good to be here in air with you.
Grazie, Alfonso. It's good to have you here as well, and I'm glad we're having this conversation. You know, I just realized that, coincidentally, you probably played soccer as a boy. Were you taught sportsmanship?
Well, you know, I heard what you were saying. It's very interesting, and I didn't know that initially in soccer there was no a penalty kick. But you know, I think that for me playing soccer in Italy was a way to stay out of the streets, and it was a healthy way to compete in a friendly way. And sometimes, right, you know, when you are a little lost like a child, it's better to play sports in a certain way than go in the street and compete in different and stupid ways, like we're seeing gangs here in L.A., in Italy a lot as well, in a different way, though.
Absolutely.
So, but I definitely am a soccer lover.
Absolutely. There's so much that sports can offer. I wonder if we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit, and maybe we just need to get back to it.
Right.
So now you, interestingly enough, you started out, since we're talking about sports, you started out into more of a personal sport as well, which was bodybuilding. That's how you kind of hit the world stage yourself, right?
Yeah. I came from a background, different sports, from soccer, of course, ski, and believe it or not, American football.
Okay, in Italy, all right.
In Italy, yeah. I played semi-professionally in American football. We had a coach from Penn State University.
Wow.
And, I was actually selected to go and I got a scholarship to go in Penn State, but I injured myself pretty badly on my leg, and that's what got me into bodybuilding. I couldn't play football anymore, so I started to go to the gym and started to lift weight and started to buy magazine with Schwarzenegger on the cover. I thought, wow, that's power. That's power. And I said, well, I want a body like that. And soon enough, I started my bodybuilding competitions. I won the Italian championship. I started to compete around Europe. It was fun. I learned a lot about discipline. And I also learned what I don't want in my life, which is, you know, hiding behind a body that is not really mine.
Mm. You know, and, Alfonso, that's one of the things that really got me when I was sitting there listening to you in person. And you're so open and you're so honest. And I don't know too many men, although I'm meeting more and more every day. And this is a sign of the times, of course. Don't know too many men that would say that they were hiding behind a body that wasn't theirs when their body looked like the kind of body that so many men want to look like.
Mm-hmm.
What are you meaning by that, first of all?
Well, most of bodybuilders are people that they try to have some kind of a, to give an image of what they are really not. Most of bodybuilders, they look very, maybe macho, very strong, but deep inside, they're very sweet. They have a very vulnerable heart, and therefore a wounded heart. And so often the muscles is just some kind of protection or just given an image of power that it's false. And so that's what happened to me as well, and I see a lot in many guys and girls as well that go into bodybuilding journey. It's a need to find some kind of power and protection outside ourselves. And muscles are nothing but some kind of protection. It's good to exercise. It's good to have a good body. But when we go to an extreme, and how I was, for example, if I didn't have my six packs and I didn't have my big arms, I felt very naked. I felt very vulnerable. I felt very weak.
Hmm.
And yeah, I'm very open about it because I guess I was able to let go this false image and just to tap into my vulnerability, which is actually my power. And I'm very open to talk about it because that is the source of power.
Wow, it's so ironic. You're saying the vulnerability is a source of power. Before we move forward, let's start a little backwards, or let's go backwards a little bit. You seemed like you had everything going for you. Your father was well known. He was in Congress, I guess, and you all were doing fairly well, and you were doing well as far as popularity because you were good in sports and a fine-looking young man and all that. Why did you feel you needed power? Why did you feel you needed to protect yourself with muscles?
Well, you know, I came from a broken family. My father left when I was very young, and my mother ended up in a mental hospital. And I was a young man. I was 6 years old, and I wanted to find a way to help my mother, to be strong for her, and to deal with life without having my father around. And also my father come from south of Italy, so even when he was around, his way of teaching, they were very rough. And I also wanted to protect from him in a way. So
wow.
When you're at that age and you just want to look for some kind of strength, and you see someone with big muscles and you say, wow, that's power. That is strength, but again, it would try to compensate a wounded heart.
Wow, Alfonso, thank you so much. You know, if we ended the interview right here, this would already have helped a lot of people. It's just so powerful. But of course, there's so much more you have to offer. So, how did you come to understand that this is what you were doing?
Well, because when I came to the United States, I was 23 years old. I had to work very hard. I had to learn a new language. I realized that the muscles that I had, they didn't serve me anything. I felt very weak again. I had to find a new muscle. And so I went into mind building. And with mind building, that's why I started to study different psychological tools, hypnosis, spend a lot of time in meditation, NLP, mastery NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, different other tools to really to understand. I thought the device called the mind was my new muscle. And something interesting happened to me that from muscles, I gained 80 pounds of fat. And which, especially from coming to have this perfect, 0.2% body fat, it was very
award-winning painful. Body, yes.
Right. And so then I realized that I had to find a solution. What's going on here? I understand my mind. I know the law of attractions and the positive thinking why I'm still overweight. And eventually I realized that I went from protecting with muscles to protecting with fat. And so from a bodybuilder into a mind builder into a heart builder. And heart builder is not really the right name because I didn't build my heart. I stopped protecting my heart. So in the moment that I stopped protecting my heart, facing my own truth, I lost the muscles and I also lost the fat. So I didn't need to protect myself anymore and didn't need to protect my wounded heart. And now I'm in shape. I don't have the muscles that I used to have, but I'm in good shape. I feel strong. I'm full of energy. I don't diet anymore. I love food. I love my body, and I completely changed my thinking, my life, my spiritual life, and my heart. It's what it is. It's the same. And vulnerability became my power instead to use muscles or fat to protect myself.
Wow. Wow, that's such powerful stuff. I know you talk about this and actually help the audience or experience it during a workshop that you have called Thinner Journey. Very clever name. So you're referring to the journey that we live in life and how we could be thinner through it?
Well, you know, some people to find some kind of enlightenment or connection with God, they go to church, they go to a meditation retreat. My way to do it is to let go protection, and one way to do it is to let go fat. Because 90% of the people, they gain weight, they gain it because there is some kind of protection. In nature, animals, when they are pregnant, for example, even us, women, they start to put weight because it's a form of protection. Whales, they have a lot of fat because they protect from cold. So protection, it's an emotional, fat, it's an emotional protection. And with thinner journey, it's an inner journey to let go of these protections and just opening the heart. And some people do it in church or in other ways. We do it through weight loss, not in the traditional way of going a diet and you lose some weight, but then you go back again, everything back because you haven't changed yourself inside. And thinner journey is the change, inner change of letting go protection, changing the body, and opening the heart.
Alfonso, I know you've been doing this for years. In your opinion, what are people protecting themselves from mostly nowadays, or here in America especially?
Well, you know, according to my statistics, you know, they say that the number one fear in the world, it's public speaking, but to my statistics, and I've been working with thousands of people, my statistics say that the number one fear in the world is the fear of intimacy. Intimacy, it's a word that comes from Latin, intimum, the innermost part of ourself, to open to another human being and say, that's me. And we've been wounded so many times. There is so much lack of trust, so much fear to fall in love or rising in love in whatever way you want to see it. There is so much fear there. And lots of women that they come to me, for example, they've been, they had some sexual abuse. They've been abused in many different ways. Or even men been hurt. They are experiencing pain because maybe they are not following the path in life. And so basically everything that is close to our heart, whether it's love, whether is a following something, a gift that we need to give to the world that we don't do it, it's painful. So that pain has to be protected somehow, and going into addictions and eating food. Food is the number one addiction, and start to build this this wall called fat to keep people away, so we don't have to experience intimacy, love, and communion with each other. It's fearful.
Wow.
So according to what I've been exposed myself after years of working, that is one of the number one reasons. There are other reasons, but that is the number one.
You know, it's funny. I'm listening to you, and I said, wow, because you're talking about opening the heart and not being fearful of intimacy. And then I just realized you actually have a seminar workshop called Wow, right? It's about right. opening the heart and that. How is that different,
yeah.
the thinner journey?
Well, the Wow, it's basically, thinner journey, it's really about learning how to love ourselves. And by learning how to love ourselves and allow ourselves to receive love. And our body needs love. There is so much self-hatred towards this beautiful gift, a machine, perfect machine called the body. The Wow, it's about opening from within. I call it Wow because people that go through this seminar, usually when they come out, through this experience, the first thing that they say is, wow, wow. It's the opening. It's the intimacy. It's the vulnerability. It's the power. It's love. And we work with couples, singles. Some couples, they take it and they just experience a deeper intimacy. A lot of singles, they take it because if we are not intimate with ourselves and open with ourselves first, it's not easy to be intimate and open with somebody else. So it's a workshop for singles. But sometimes when couples take it, they just happen to go deeper into each other, into a communion state. And but Wow, it's a word that comes, you know, the equivalent word would be agape, which means this opening as love is the highest state of love where there is now a cause and effect. Falling in love, it's the source of love within. It's an opening, a surrendering of letting go and feeling that inner joy that can happen just by letting go and allow our vulnerability and sensitivity and openness to be there.
Well, wow. It's a word I use
wow.
often, actually. And very clever of you to put that together like that. Well, I want to remind everybody that we're talking to Alfonso. Actually, do you say Alfonso de Rose or do you say Alfonso de Rose?
Well, I like Alfonso de Rose, but, you know, de Rose, it's we are in America. And,
okay.
It's easier.
All right, so we're in America, allora non parliamo in italiano, parliamo solo in inglese. Alfonso de Rose is a hypnotherapist and a master NLP trainer. He has several workshops that he offers, from The Thinner Journey to New Man of the Millennium, Laser, and Wow, W-O-W. He's going to be giving examples of those workshops here in Los Angeles, for those of you who are interested, on July 6th, July 7th, and July 14th. All here in Los Angeles. The 6th will be on the Bodhi Tree, or at the Bodhi Tree. The 7th in Calabasas at Om Dancing. And the 14th at the Gateway, the Portal of Learning. And I understand that, Alfonso, you're offering a 2-for-1 at the Bodhi Tree. If one person comes in paid, the second person comes in free. So that's July 6th at the Bodhi Tree. But in case you don't remember that and you don't get to the archives in time for the seminar, go to www.alfonsoderose.com. That's A-L-F, like Frank, O-N-S-O, D-E. R-O-S-E.com, AlfonsoDeRose.com. Alfonso, you said something, actually I didn't say something. I didn't say that you're listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network. And to learn more about us, you could go to lifechanges.ws. And of course, actually, you can also learn more about Alfonso by going to our website. And you can hear this show in the archives. At the moment, they are all free. So you could hear this show and any others that we have done on the BBS Radio Network at our website, lifechanges.ws. And Alfonso, when I saw you speak last, you said something that I thought was absolutely brilliant. You drew up on the board the reasons why people want to be thin. And then you had the reasons below as to what they were feeling now. And you had this up and down action thing kind of going, saying if you lose weight, then you're up here and you feel this, but then you gain weight. So I don't want to get into it. I want you to tell us, please, because what you were really getting at is what's really missing besides the weight issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we have the tendency always to look in the outside world. Once I'm thin, I am going to be happy. Once
right.
I'm rich, I'm going to be super happy. And the truth is that we know a lot of people that are very thin, they're very rich, and they're not so happy.
Right.
And we also know some people that they don't have a lot of money, and they don't have a great body, perhaps, but they do have some peace and happiness inside. And so really what we want to achieve a state of peace within and happiness, and so we have this idea that once I'm going to be thin, I'm going to feel sexy, I'm going to feel happy, I'm going to feel wanted, I feel like I have a lot of energy. And so with my thin journey, instead of focusing on being thin, we're focusing on being sexy, being happy, and feeling good, and having energy. And those criteria, those emotions, those values, the side effect is to change the body, because so within, so without. So changing within, we change the body without. So we're focusing on certain emotions. We're focusing on opening. We're focusing on changing the values. And the body changes. And not just the body, the finances, relationships, many things in the outside world, they change once we change the world within. And so we remove the blockages, the limited thinking, and all this this way of living that they actually transform the body into a protecting machine and keeping the weight on. It's an inner journey. And so instead to go become sane and then happy, we suggest to be happy and then thin. The happiness is the side effect. And, you know, one of the things I say all the time to my students is that once you lose weight, you're going to be thin or you're going to be rich. You're not going to be happier. It's just better to have misery in life and be thin and rich, because it's just one less problem. But it's not the key of happiness. It's not, and a lot of people, they come to my seminars, especially here in Hollywood. I have to be thin. Otherwise, nobody's going to love me. Nobody's going to accept me. Mm-hmm. I need to look like a movie star. And I just say, no. First, you got to love yourself. First, you have to learn how to open. First, you have to love, to learn how to circulate certain emotions. And then the body will change. Because, Filippo, if you see someone that wakes up in the morning and slept only 1 hour, you will see some circle under the eyes, because the body never lies. The body speaks the truth of what's going on inside. If you're tired, the body will say it. If you're getting older, the body will say it. If you're overweight, there is something that the body is saying that it's happening within. So the fat, it's a message. The source is within. It's in our mind. It's in our spirit, and in our emotional body as well.
Wow. It just seems that everything we've learned is backwards.
Yeah, it's amazing.
what you're saying in a nutshell is first you got to believe it, and then you'll see it. And what we've been taught is we're not going to believe it until we see it.
True. True.
And so is it hard for you to get people to see things this other way?
Well, let's just say that it's not easy. And it's not easy because obviously all these people, they come to me, they've been brainwashed by years of dieting, by years of fearing food, by years of thinking that we have to work out 20 hours a day in order to have a good body. It's not easy. I'm lucky because I am a living example myself. I've been in both ways. I've been thinking like a dieter. I've been exercising like crazy. And I got to a point with diets that didn't work anymore. And the reason why diets, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't work, because the mental state, emotional state, spiritual state has changed. So I have examples of testimonials of people that been going through my seminars, so I just present these people and say, hey, listen, if it works for them, it can work for you. It's not very easy to let go of the past, to let go of what we believe. And sometimes, you know, I always say one thing. Do you want to be right and fat, or wrong and thin? And because, you know, we say it, and diets don't work. And we can just keep believing that they do something. We want to just stick with that. They do not work. And so, you know, initially it's not easy. I explain the things in a very detailed way. And because I had those experiences and changes in myself. And then eventually, most of the people, they really have their results, and they change their mind, and they just go into the path of freedom, not the path of fear, not the path of deprivation, not the path of being living in a rigid way, but in a loving way, in an easy way, in making love with food, we call it, relaxing and not being afraid of food. And like I have to say, this is I brought it from me, by my grandparents in Calabria, that they were making love with food and they had this amazing body. And
That sounds like it's important. Could you say that again, actually? Because, you know, Americans tend to have an image of Italians as overweight, but that's not really true. And yet Italians eat really good food, and they do eat pasta and bread. They are more overweight nowadays than they used to be, because they're also eating more of the same things that we do in America. But I don't remember seeing a lot of overweight people when I went there the first time. So say what you just said again, because it's very important.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, things are changing now. But growing up, you know, there were some people, you know, a little overweight, but there were no cases of obesity, and everybody ate fat-filled milk. Pies with sugar inside, and you know, real food, the food that we fear now. And but you know, one thing is that when you cook your food with love, and when you eat your food with love, and you let go of those fascist ideas that food is your enemy, when you make love with food, when you surrender around food, when food becomes a place, an opportunity to be with family, be with friends, and experience pleasure, actually, the body will not gain weight. You will lose weight. Lots of people, I have a lot of people here in this country that they go to Italy, they lose weight. They say, I eat whatever I want, and I lose weight because the food has been cooked with love. And because when you have an opportunity to eat over there, is love. It's love in action. And the way that they eat it, and that's what we teach at Tina Journey, how to make love with food. Diet, they taught us how to fear food. And, you know, in 1800, there were no cases of obesity all over the world. We started to have obesity in the 50s and diets in the 50s. We had some changes happening in the world, but before that, obesity was not an issue. and especially in Italy. In Italy until a few years ago. Now it's becoming also a problem over there because, like you said, we started to have fast food in Italy as well, and people started to work, and be brainwashed by fearing food, by the diet syndrome that is spreading all over the world, and so obesity.
You know, Alfonso, I wanted to talk about several other things with you, but this is so important. I see people suffering all over from not just obesity, but the fear of food or the anger that they have with food. Even when people joke about, oh, I'm eating this, it has no fat, and I mean, the jokes that we make about food, it's the one thing that we use to truly nourish our body, and yet, first of all, we're not getting that much nourishment because of the minerals are depleted and all of that, and then things have been overcooked or overprocessed or chemicals are in it, but even still, even with the little that we could get from that, we put so much bad energy on it. How could we ever tend to gain from that?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, in many tradition, in the Hindu tradition, they give you the prasad. When you go to the temple, there is the blessed food. In a Catholic and different Christian tradition, you know, they give you the bread, which is the body of Christ, and it's a communion. And the truth that we need to have a communion with food all the time. We have to treat food as we are eating the divine, because through food we get energy. It's love in action. And diet is just, with a diet mentality and culture, we learn the opposite. And so there is a lot of fear. Fear of carbohydrates, the fear of fat, the fear of the calories. And the truth is that fat is necessary. Carbohydrates is necessary. And it's not really what you eat, but it's why you eat. How you eat and how much you eat. What to eat is important in a sense that has to be healthy. Like you said, we have so many processed food and they're depleted from minerals, vitamins, and all these nutrients that are very, very important for the body. But the main reason is why do we eat and how you eat. When you eat, is your food your enemy? When you go to Starbucks and you order a non-fat milk, does it really make the difference in your body? Because if that was the truth, America would be the thinnest country in the world. You know? It's just a mental thing. Oh, I want all the fat-free. The fat-free doesn't do anything. And most of the food is fat-free, sugar-free anyways. But it's just a mental game. And the mental game is called fear. I'm afraid of this food. I'm afraid of that food. It doesn't do anything to you. It's not the problem. Love is the solution, the love that comes with food, the way that we eat the food, the way that we treat the food, the way that we surrender to food and allow it to the way that we eat it, the way that we digest it. And once we learn that art, we learn to stop fear of food. It's going to be easy to be in shape, to be sane, and to be full of energy and never get sick.
So it sounds like it's the stopping to fearing the food and stopping the kind of energy we're putting on that, but also to go inside and to love ourselves and not need protection against anybody. It's kind of like those three things so far I'm hearing from you.
It's all about love, Filippo.
It's all about love.
It's all about love. It's about how we treat food. How we love food, how we receive love from food, how we love our body, this perfect temple, how we love it, how we treat it, how we allow other people to love it, and how we open as love. The body will reflect that state of love that it's absolutely a necessity for us in order to be living and achieving and sharing and be who we are. And food is the beginning, because when we were born, we experienced love and food at the same time. When mommy was feeding us, She was giving us food, and it was full of love with tenderness and care. And often we were crying, and mommy thought that we wanted food, but we wanted love. And so she gave us food at the same time. So we started anchoring this need of sensation that comes from food with love. And that's why it's all about love. Emotional eating is just, I want love, but because love is dangerous, because I can get hurt, I'm going to get a counterfeit love. I'm going to get a love from food, sometimes from alcohol, from drugs, from shopping or other kind of sensations, but that is all love substitute. What we're talking about here is the real love, which is in letting go, letting God, surrendering, opening, and receiving.
Alfonso, I think the way you talk about this is, I haven't heard many people do that, and I'm, you might be the only one. I'm so happy to hear you talk like this. And those of you who want to hear Alfonso in person can go to the Bodhi Tree on the 6th of July, or on the 7th can go to Om Dancing in Calabasas, or on the 14th you can hear him speak at the Gateway, the Portal of Learning. Alfonso, we didn't get to cover the New Man of the Millennium workshop, which sounds fascinating, and that's for men only. And then the WOW, the WOW, the Opening of the Heart workshop that you do. But we have just a minute here. Is there anything that you would like to add to the so much that you've already said, and the so much that I know you've already helped our listeners? Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to say that if any of your listeners, they really want to release the weight, I just, for those especially that they lost hope, that they went from diet to diet, and they still find a solution, I want to tell you that there are not overweight people in the world. We make ourselves overweight. It's a mental state, an emotional state, and a spiritual state. They create that. It's an inner journey. There is hope. It's possible. And it's all about love again. It's all about surrendering. And for some people might think, oh, love? What kind of language does this guy speak? Come and experience it. And release the weight. Yeah.
You know, I like what you said. You said falling in love or rising in love, and I really like that. And today you've helped us rise in love in so many ways, and I hope that people could hear what you said.
Thank you so much, Filippo. It's been a pleasure, and you're so insightful, and it's been really a pleasure, and grazie tante.
Prego. And I look forward to connecting with you, of course, and to connecting our audience with you. So everybody who wants to know more about Alfonso de Rose, do go to alfonsoderose.com, and that's alfonsoderose.com. And if you didn't get that, go to lifechanges.ws and you'll find the information for Alfonso. Ciao, Alfonso, a presto.
Grazie, ciao, ciao.
Prego, ciao, ciao. Well, that was fun, and it was fun actually getting to speak a little bit Italian. Would have been nice to speak a little more, and I'm sure I'm going to get emails saying, oh, you could have, it sounded beautiful, even though we didn't understand it, and I have to learn that, because Italian is the language of love. Music is the language of love. When I sing in Italian, people say, oh, I could listen to you all day, and I didn't understand that at first, because I thought, how could you listen to something you don't understand? But there's so much love that comes through, like what Alfonso was sharing. When the love comes through, you feel it. Doesn't matter what language it is. Doesn't matter what food it is. Doesn't matter what time of day. Okay, I'm reaching. And now I'm reaching to have Dorothy Lee Donahue join us with her How to Be the Change You Wish to See in the World segment. Here's Dorothy Lee Donahue.
Hi. I get hundreds of invites a week to groups and to events through Facebook, and I usually delete most of them without giving them much of a glance. However, one of them really got my attention yesterday. It was from Laura Fox, and she titled her group, This is a test of our response ability. Two words, response ability. And then she went on to describe a major pollution crisis that I've known about for several years. Here's what she had to say about it. We've got a plastic waste dump the size of many Texases in the North Pacific and probably in other ocean gyres. We've got millions of barrels a day flowing into the Atlantic via what scientists are calling the irreparably damaged Gulf floor. Not to mention the waste in all of the landfills. Irreparably damaged? We ought to be paying attention now, are we? And that plastic shows up in the mother's milk and the human animal tissues around the globe, and the oil will be showing up soon in the same places. Are we going to do something about it? Laura asked. On our behalf and on behalf of the planet. I'm just curious, she says. But here's the good part. She actually goes on to offer 13 potential action steps for us to take to get the ball rolling. And she gives the rest of us credit for having probably thought of these and our other steps. And she asks us to begin doing them and posting and sharing our ideas with the world via our Facebook pages or anywhere that you and I may be able to inspire our human family. I thought that this would be an easy thing to do when I took a look at her first step. Refuse to purchase anything that comes in a plastic container of any kind, no matter what. So I patted myself on the back because I didn't buy bottled water. But when I was unloading my groceries, I realized that the dishwashing liquid, the frozen blueberries, the vitamin C, the hand lotion, the toilet paper, the paper towels, the broccoli, the salt, the pepper, the candles, the avocados, etc., 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 all of it was either wrapped in plastic or came in a plastic container. So Laura must have seen this challenge because she addresses this in her potential action step number 2, make videos and posts of the process of not buying stuff in plastic to show others how we managed to do it. I can't wait to see those posts because right now I don't know how to begin to do that. When I look around and I see that everything that I consume is in some kind of a plastic container. However, I can get behind potential action step number 3, get a diesel car and start running biodiesel. Number 4, pray, meditate, and visualize every day for human beings to wake up, for the Gulf floor to be fixed, and for the plastic and oil pollution to stop on this planet. I have written an Imagine meditation, which has become very popular, and I do it once a day. We are the power in our world, and if we imagine that things are a lot different than they are, that is one action step we can take. Potential action step number 5, find out what is really going on in the Gulf and in these tremendously large gyres full of plastic. Educate ourselves fully and take responsibility for our own part of this mess. For the other potential action steps, you can go to Facebook and find Laura Fox, or you can ask me to be your friend and I'll send you the rest of the potential action steps. I'm grateful to Laura for not only pointing out the problems we face, but for offering the potential solutions. Each of us needs to respond with action, intelligence and insight, intuition, habit changes, and diligence if we wish to become the change we need to see in the world. We may not be willing or able to do each of her 13 action steps, but if we choose to do as many as we can, we will make a difference in our world. And we're intelligent beings. We can come up with action steps of our own. So let us encourage and support one another in making these difficult changes. and let's share our processes of making these changes so others can make them too. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for. You're the only one who can end your suffering, and you can do this by beginning a love affair with you. Choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making elegant choices, and never forget that you are powerful beyond measure, and that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are love.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee Donahue, with How to Be the Change That We Wish to See in the World. And actually, that was pretty changeful, or it was full of change. Dorothy referred to a meditation called the Imagine Meditation that she wrote, and it is becoming quite popular, actually, as people are passing it from Facebook to Facebook page, and it is on YouTube. You could find it by putting in Life Changes with Filippo or Imagine. Actually, if you go to lifechanges.ws, that'll be the easiest way to find it, and we'll make sure that it's there. It's already there, but we're working on a new website, and we'll make sure that it's on the new one as well. So with that, we thank Dorothy Lee Donahue not only for the meditation, but for reminding us on how to be the change. I want to remind everybody that Dorothy Lee Donahue's Energetic Alchemy Workshop that she created and that is gaining so much momentum is happening this coming weekend as well. So for those of you who don't know about it, you can go to energeticalchemy.com. That's energetic with a C, and then alchemy, alchemy.com, and learn more about that. It's a brilliant course, and it has so much to offer, and you can read testimonials, etc. And if you didn't get that, of course, at lifechanges.ws, you can find more information on there by clicking on About Us and on clicking on Dorothy's name. We'd like to thank Alfonso de Rose for being our guest today, and we'll look forward to our guest next week and having you all join us again. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us on our website at lifechanges.ws, and of course, on Facebook, on Twitter, etc., YouTube. It's all getting so exciting, isn't it? Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles and Energetic Alchemy. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue, Mark M. Leisure, and our engineer, Seth Hendrick, thank you for being part of the show, being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.